Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In the critically acclaimed series Life Lessons and Tales of Little Misfit, we follow the main character, Ivy Sue Klutz, as she learns new lessons through humorous tales as she reaches adulthood. In the latest series, Book 3, Little Misfit learns another important life lesson. Life is like a fountain. It has its ups, opportunities, and successes, and downs, disappointments, and failures. She begins the most challenging years of her life, the 11 to 15, or middle school, into high school. As a former probation officer and executive life coach and professor teacher, Dr. Susan Grunin saw firsthand how many people growing up are often made to feel inadequate or unwelcome in certain situations. She learned through using humor and working with others, particularly children and young adults, how to help individuals fit in those uncomfortable situations. Life Lessons and Tales of Little Misfit, Book 3, has won numerous awards, and author Dr. Susan K. Grunin was named by Power Magazine as 2025 Woman Author of the Year for Young Adult Genre. And Dr. Grunin is our guest on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. Pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I didn't go through all the awards. We'll touch on those as we go through the interview. It would have taken half the interview to talk about all the awards. Congratulations on the success of this book. Tell us a little bit about your career and how you ended up being an author of a very successful young adult series.
Well, I started out my career with actually being a mother as well, with two young boys in Sunday school and preschool and helping teachers, volunteering and doing all kinds of educational issues with whatever that they needed. And I worked with a lot of kids over the years. And as I grew in my career in federal law enforcement and probation parole, I started out in juvenile court. And I found that kids and young adults who had a mentor really, really did much better in life than those who didn't. So as I went through my career, and I kind of gathered a lot of information from training, executive coaching, and leadership development, and you name it, in my career over the 50-something years in law enforcement and education. I taught for 20-something years at University of Virginia. And I found that those kids who really did find at least one mentor, sometimes more, were much better off in life. And I thought, wow, you know what? What could I do? As I finished my career in law enforcement and coaching and ran my own executive development and business, I thought, you know, it'd be really fun is to get these books out there, that a series of books that would help kids from a very young age all the way up to adulthood to find a mentor to work with, at least one adult that could help them learn their life lessons and share with them their experiences and laugh together. So that's kind of what started in the back of my head. And I went on when I retired, I went on a little sabbatical to Lisbon, Portugal, took a month and started writing. And that's how I got, it was all in my head, got the books done on paper. And I said, you know, I'm going to write these books for kids and as they grow up and hopefully, as I said, get a mentor.
And it's resonating with families. Young children and adults are reading this and working as mentors within the family for the young children. We're talking about the book series, Little Misfit, the book series available wherever books are sold. Dr. Grunin's website is skg-creations.com. And of course, you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about, again, in writing life lessons, Tales of Little Misfit. Did you know where you're going when you started this? Did you have this concept of eventually 10 books in your mind, or did it just develop as you were writing it?
Well, I kind of knew I wanted to do some books as she was growing up. And I read a lot with my young sons as they were growing up, and I saw how they liked Harry Potter, and I saw how I enjoyed books like Nancy Drew when I was growing up. So I thought, you know, having one series, but instead of just different tales, they're all humorous tales, it would be as she was learning that life lesson and growing up at a certain age, so I could begin having the children at a young age, 3.5 to 8 is the first book audience, and have that group start really engaging and laughing with an adult. And then as she moved into the second book at age 9 and 10, life isn't always fair. She learned a new lesson, and then book 3, as she gets into the more difficult. I felt like it'd be good to kind of give the adult and the child and young adult a chance to read and learn, engage in dialogue as Ivy Sue Klutz grows, as they grow. And that's the idea.
And there will be kids that will grow up following your book as they move from one book in the series to another. They will get the book out and go and read what a little misfit is going through. You talked about humor. How important is that? You really use humor as a way to break down a lot of these barriers that we have.
Well, first of all, I wanted the kids and young adults to put down their iPhones and iPads
Ah,
and
yes.
engage with an adult. And I know that, it's easier to engage, I believe, when you use humor in life.
Yes.
And, I didn't want them preaching to them. I didn't want them, but I wanted the kids and young adults to ask their adult mentor about their life, their experiences, and what happened to them as they grew, and what would they do in that situation, and how would they have acted, and what was different when they were growing up. And so it's sharing back and forth. Yes, it might not be as contemporary, but the idea is the life is the same regardless of when they grew up, and learning these lessons and sharing their own personal, and especially with book three, as they get to be in the really most difficult time of their life, I believe, from 11 to 15. I believe these kids have a really difficult time, and even more so today. So having a mentor that they can laugh with, someone that they can go and talk to and say, remember Nana or grandma or grandpa or mom or dad, when we read that story, I've got a serious issue. I need to talk to you about this. And, so they would really begin to think about these things, but having done this humorous tales and related, and then learning the lessons from their mentor, they don't have to always just learn their own disappointments and failures. I felt it was important that their mentor can help them through them, but also help them share their own.
You mentioned something that's so critical. Dialogue is a big part of what Little Misfit goes through as she's moving through these different stages of growing up. How important is that? Rather than coming home from school, going in your room, closing the door, and you're isolated for the rest of the day from family, from friends, how important is that dialogue? You learn so much, I think, about people, and you feel better about yourself, I think, when you're engaged in a dialogue.
Well, and dialogue is a Greek word, and it's seeking out logic and seeking out each other. And we don't do enough of that today. It's more than just having a discussion. It's a dialogue, exchanging your ideas and thoughts and emotions, feelings. So the idea is to engage each other. And if you start when they're really little, book one, life isn't always what it seems, and just get them engaged in the humor of the stories, and then as she grows, reading the other stories and having a chance to really exchange ideas and ask questions of each other, and what would you do, and how would you do this, and why would you do that? Because today we, as you say, we lock ourselves in our rooms with our iPads or our iPhones, and we text each other probably even more than we talk on the phone anymore. So a conversation is getting, the art of conversation getting lost. So the idea of a dialogue, and I really encourage the mentor to buy the books and read them with them together and have their own copy and go back and mark on the book and read the stories and have a chance to bring up the different issues in life as they read these stories using the humor. Because as you mentioned, humor is something that I think helps us bond together as we laugh together, and especially laughing out loud together with some of these stories. I think it really helps us see life is difficult at times, but also how do we get through it? And humor is one way, whether it's ourselves but others, but not to laugh at people, but to laugh with them and look at how you can see the best in each other and use humor to get through some of the difficult times.
And you do that so well without preaching. You mentioned that's something you did not want to do. How do you go about doing that? I would think that would be a big challenge because you have a message. Sometimes we want to tell the message in the most direct way, which may come across as preaching, but you're not doing that. You're sharing stories that will get the same message across without being preachy.
Well, I think for me, I always found humor was another way that I got through life. And
Yes.
I think as we look at humor, I build in the what I call the five C's. They use it in mental health. When I did my co coaching and counseling as a federal probation parole officer, I learned a lot about mental health and competence, confidence, character, connection, and caring. And in that, if you can use humor in all of those ways, in Ivy Sue Klutz's situation, she even uses humor of her own name. When she's in first grade, the teacher has them all stand up and you say their name and introduce themselves. And she realized that from her own little experience that having a little humor got the kids to enjoy and like her more. So she says, when she stands up, "I S Klutz." And the teacher said, "I S Klutz." She said, "Oh, you too?" So the kids all thought she was saying she's clumsy,
you know,
like "I S Klutz." "Oh, you too?" So the key here is to figure out ways with different age groups as you move through the books to still bring humor into the process so that they can really engage in the life lesson. And then, as I mentioned, really get to know a parent or grandparent's experiences in life, because we don't take the time out of our busy schedules. And instead of preaching to them about, you know, "Here's what I knew when I grew up," or "Here's how I would do this," it gives them a chance to really engage each other and laugh and say, "Well, what would you have done? Would you have done that? You know, and how would you have done that differently?" So the idea is really to get a jumping off point, if you will, into the dialogue with each other. And as they grow, to bond and use these lessons to really look at life with a humorous, if you will, tint to it, so that they can really get through life in the most difficult time, I believe, is really these young teen. When I worked in juvenile court, I saw how difficult these kids had. And I think without a mentor, it's even more challenging.
Our guest on the program is Dr. S.K. Grunin. That's Grunin. Her website is skg-creations.com. The book series available wherever books are sold. Of course, information on Dr. Grunin's website. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, that will take you directly there. You talk in the book, and a big part of that is, and you touched on this, reading is so crucial. That was a big part of your growing up. A library card and being have access to libraries. How important is that? I know people in my age group, and I'm well removed from a Little Misfits age group, but saying one of the happiest days of their lives was getting a library card. Of course, you didn't have the internet then. You had the library card, and that was your passport to the world.
Well, and here's the thing about books, whether you read them on Kindle, if you're being more modern, or you have to have, like me, the hard copy in your hand and hold it and really love to read the pages and see the pictures. It's important to read books for several reasons. Number one, you learn about other cultures and people and their lives. So if you can't travel, which is another way to learn, you can certainly do that through books. And I believe that. Of course, I have a PhD and two masters. I believe in lifelong learning. Regardless of how much education you get, I'm always reading books. And I think that's one really important way we can grow in our lives is to read and travel. And then when you have a chance to read and have a dialogue with someone about the book, I know a lot of book clubs really get into some really good discussions. But I think the key here is I really am trying to encourage them to start young and have a dialogue rather than just a discussion. And I, as we mentioned earlier, the dialogue really is more of an exchange of your feelings, ideas, and experiences of life. And that's really why I call it Life Lessons in Tales of Little Misfit.
Let's talk a second about book three. That's the newest. That's the one we're focusing on. But all of the books are available, a series, the books one through three. You see the award sticker on all of the books. It's amazing. And I'll mention this now. Along with one of the recognitions, you have a photo on a billboard in Times Square where you're holding the three copies of the books. What was that like to see yourself in Times Square, the heart of the world, holding up, and we've got those, and they'll be on our screen along with the book covers. What was that like, that recognition, and being recognized? I know one of these I mentioned was by educators, to have people of that influential part of everybody's life say, yeah, this series really, really resonates.
Well, I think that's so important, because to me, the teachers are unsung heroes.
Yes.
Whether you teach elementary, preschool, high school, college, especially junior high, I believe that they really have the difficult job. And I know parents need to help and encourage and work with kids as well as they're going through their difficulties. But often, as kids get to be this age, particularly when you get to be this age with a book three, they don't want to hear from parents. They want to hear from somebody else often. And that's why I'm really encouraging another mentor to step forward in the kid's life, whether it's a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a teacher. Mine was a school principal. And I think those who take an interest and read and encourage those. So when I got recognized on Times Square by and then by the educators and so forth,
Yes.
I was really exciting. I was to me, I've done a lot in my life, and having two children was a highlight, and getting my doctorate. But this was probably another one of the top highlights of my life, was getting recognized by the educators and then having won the award and being on Times Square on a billboard. And I had people calling me from all over. Hey, was that
What a
And they actually
recognition.
sent me a little medal here. So I'm like, oh my goodness. So I'm like, okay. Yeah,
It's like it
this is
just,
a Global Educators
well,
Award.
I
I was
like
like,
that.
okay.
It looks like you just won an Olympic medal there. You've got that sort of,
Yeah, doesn't
for book authors, that
it?
is the Olympics, and you've got a gold medal. You've got several of them there. Our guest is Dr. S.K. Grunin, Grunin. The book is available, the book series available wherever books are sold. Let's talk again about book three, sort of focus, and you mentioned this. This is really a difficult time. You've got the betweeners, those 11, 12, young teens, 13 to 15. And when you think about it, those are really challenging times, aren't they? Boys, girls in particular, really going through a lot of changes. We've got bullying that now enters the conversation that maybe we didn't have 10, 15, 20 years ago. This is really a crucial period, isn't it?
Yes, in fact, I think you've seen the story in the play Mean Girls. I think there is something to be said about junior high and high school. Somehow, some of these girls, I don't know if it's because they lack their own lack of self-confidence or what, but they start being mean and bullying.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of girls really are intimidated by that. And so for me, building their character and their confidence and their competence and connecting and caring through humor, I'm trying to help them recognize that yes, they are going through life changes. Their bodies are changing, their hormones, their friends are changing, they're going to different classes, they're doing things they're in difficult, challenging times. So the idea is, how do I work through these issues? How do I find myself? And with Little Misfit, I try to give them examples. Even in her case, she was not very well off financially, and that made her feel isolated at times. And so, try to realize that it's okay. Life is like a fountain. We will get through this, but use humor. Realize that you can look out there for opportunities, which is another reason to read. Find books that really encourage you. Find books that you find exciting for travel and culture and things you might want to think about for a career. To look forward, not just realize that you're going to always be in this situation, and you can move forward finding those opportunities and successes and celebrating them and realizing you can learn from the failures and disappointments, using your mentor to help you get through those times.
You also bring up fitting in, and we all grow up wanting to be part of the crowd. We want to be one of the cool kids. And you talk about the fact that it's okay to not fit in. You need to be comfortable with who you are. Talk about that because, boy, that's really a very valuable lesson that comes out of the series.
Well, and as we look at the development age, kids want to fit in. They want to replicate each other. They
Yes.
want to look alike, dress alike at the teenage and young adults. And I'm telling them, it's okay not to. It's okay. Whether you can't afford it, whether you have a weight issue, whether you have some other issue, don't realize it's okay. It's okay to be who you are, but learn how to build your confidence and your competence through yourself and through this humor so that you can engage and be yourself. And it's okay to realize that we don't have to fit in. And that's really what I want them to realize, that they can find their own tune to their own drummer. Yes, we do have to conform in life at times and have some conformity, but you don't have to be one of the gang, one of the crowd. You can stand out and do your thing and realize it's okay to do that, but find your way and build your own character doing that.
Books 1, 2, and 3 are now available. Book 1 is Life Isn't Always Fair. Book 2, Life Isn't Always What It Seems. And Book 3, the one we focused on, Life Lessons and Tales of Little Misfit. Book 3, Life is Like a Fountain. It has ups and opportunities and successes and downs, disappointments and failures. All three of these books now available. How are you progressing with the rest of the series? How far are you ahead?
It's a slower progress because now I've been learning to play Mahjong the last 7 years. So I'm also doing that, and I'm enjoying my quote retirement. Maggie Smith said, "What's a weekend?" I say, "What's retirement?" So I'm busy. But I'm working. Book 4 is going to be when she's in high school, college, and learning a lesson that life has more than two certainties, death and taxes. Because as we get older, we think we're invincible. And this is one of the problems with a young teenager up into their 20s, driving fast, doing things. So I want them to realize there's more certainties than just death and taxes and what those certainties are. I use humor, but I also want them to really focus on the fact they're not invincible. And there are things that they do. There are consequences. There are things that can happen to them. And so that basically that's what the next book will focus on.
Give me a little overview of books 1 and 2. I've talked about that starts when basically Little Misfit has her first realization of when she's looking back, what life was like, and when she started, like, mentally at least taking notes and can recognize her situation. Talk about books 1 and 2 leading up to 3.
Okay, book 1, she's 3.5 to 8, and she's at her birthday party for her sister, when her first memory. And this is when all the kids are sitting around in a circle, and she's the young one, and they're all 5, and her sister and their friends, and her cousin is 12 and says, "You want to play a game?" And she says, "Yes," and they say, "Okay." But they don't tell her that she's not supposed to guess the real surprise. They just say, "Well, let's guess what Linda's getting for her birthday." So in the driveway's backing up a big truck, and Little Misfit, they're all guessing stuff like jewelry and a doll, and Little Misfit looks at that truck and says, "No way can something that little fit in that truck." So she said, "I know, it's a bike." And their mother is so mad because all of a sudden she spoiled the surprise, and she thought she was going to get a prize, not get yelled at. So she realizes at that very moment, life isn't always what it seems. And that's the first lesson in the first book. And as she goes through school, even into first grade, when she plays some pranks on her fellow kids and students, trying to get them to laugh, she does one that gets her in trouble. So after lunch, the teacher says, "Well, since Ivy Sue Klutz locked us all in the school for recess, what should we do to her?" And all the kids said, "Well, let's make her stand in the wastebasket after lunch with all the garbage." So she has to stand in the wastebasket with her bare feet. With bananas and peanut butter sandwich, jelly sandwiches and stuff. So she's like, "Well, I did this to myself." So she had to learn to laugh at that because she realized that she was the one that brought it on. So she's growing up realizing life isn't always what it seems. That's book 1. And one other really cute one is, there's several of them in there, but one is like her neighbors are German, and her sister comes home with the German measles, and her mom calls the doctor, comes to the house, and the Little Misfit and her brother have to get the shots. She goes, "How can this be? I'm not sick. Life isn't always what it seems." And then she says, "Well, my neighbors are German. You're at the wrong house." And he goes, no, you don't understand. This is German measles, but you're not." So again, she's like, "Oh my God, life is not what it seems." So then you move when she's 9 in 5th grade, she's learning another lesson. And this is life isn't always fair. So at this point in her life, she goes through various things, and things just seem to happen. And it's like, "Why is that? Well, how come me?" So one time her teacher goes out of the room, the superintendent's there, and they're in the back room, and he's talking. They're in a one-room schoolhouse, and the kids are so disruptive. The teacher had told them to be quiet and do their work. Well, he finally was so mad after the superintendent left. He came in the room and said, "Okay, I want everybody's name who were disruptive, who was throwing airplanes, who was loud, who was yelling." And everybody, about maybe 20 of the 35 kids' names, they raised their hand. Their names went up on the board. Well, Ivy Sue Klutz didn't raise her hand because she was working on her homework trying to get it done because they were going to go to a fun fair that weekend. Well, all of a sudden, the teacher looked and saw her name was not up there. He said, hey, how can this be? Ivy Sue, you are always in trouble. Well, Ivy Sue said, I didn't do anything. He said, well, your name's going up here anyway. I said, well, she said, find the two kids I talked to. Find anybody I talked to. Nobody did. So he made her punish her. So after she had to miss the recess and do the punishment. So after that, she decided she's going to get back at the teacher. So he kept calling on her and she wouldn't answer him. This went on for a week. She'd just be silent when he called her name. So he finally came over to her house. She lived on a farm down the road. And her mother was the school parent because she was the closest. And so she was outside with her little brother. And she said, let's hide. That's my teacher. So he goes in the house and she realizes she had let her dog and the other dog loose before he got in the house. And her dog had never bit anybody, but bit him on the ankle. So she went in the house and he got her mother fixed up his ankle. And then he came back out and left. And so she went in the house and said, well, what did he want? And her mother said, well, he wanted to try to see if he can get you to start talking because he didn't want all the other kids to do what you're doing. And that is not talking to him. And this could be difficult for him if nobody talks to him when he calls on him. So she said, well, I don't know. That life is difficult here. And she said, well, you ought to realize you got even with him. And I saw also what you did with your dog stuff out there on his car. So I think you ought to think about that. He had taught you the lesson, life isn't always fair, and just move on from there. And she said, okay, you're right, Mom. Life isn't always fair. But you're right. We did kind of get back at him. So I'll move on from here. So that was kind of her beginning to realize things happen sometimes and life isn't always fair.
That has.
And I think for kids who are disabled, who have difficulty in life for some other reason, whether a parent or grandparent, that they just don't get along with, they can realize that life isn't always fair and try to figure out ways to move through life, realizing that it's not their fault. Life isn't always fair.
And you do that with the humor that you talked about. The dialogue is there. This is something that will stick with them. Certainly a little misfit for the rest of her life. And as people are reading this, it's like, well, yeah, sometimes you hold on to this stuff for years. Let it go because life isn't always fair. Boy, this book series is really so well done. Books 1 through 3 are now available. Looking forward to book 4. Hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that as well. I don't know where the time has gone, but it's gone by. The books are so well written by our guest on the program, Dr. S.K. Grunin, Grunin. Her website, very simple, skg-creations.com. We make it simple as well. Go to the website, click on, if you can't remember this, it takes you directly to Dr. Grunin's website. You'll learn about the books. You can order them there as well. And I'd like to thank King Pages Press for arranging today's conversation, the author's marketing consultant, results-oriented, making sure your work gets the attention it truly deserves. Doctor, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. I love what you're doing. I love the sense of humor. We all need that. It sort of diffuses situations that could be emotionally paralyzing. If you get a good laugh, you can move on and get going with your life. Excellent job on books 1 through 3. Waiting for book number 4. No pressure. Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you. And I really, really want kids and their parents or adults, a mentor, to read these books and really help them in their lives.
It will do that. And the books, again, available wherever books are sold. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And you're listening to This Week in America. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.